It's so fascinating how when one embarks on a spiritual life, you imagine all sorts of outcomes, and mostly quick outcomes, that you will finally not have to suffer the world anymore, that you will be somehow perfected, that the universe will be on your side, you will align with what is, everything will be hunky-dory. And then I think a lot of people begin to wonder, well, when is this going to happen? Why hasn't this happened as fast as I imagined it would? Why do I keep getting stuck in the same old place? Am I still the same person on so many levels? Why am I a spiritual person and still having angry thoughts and suffering all these indignities of human experience? And why does this happen to me? I thought I was a good person, a spiritual person. I've come to realize over the course of my however many 40 years or so of sitting how incredibly delusional most of us are spiritually, and how long it takes to get beyond that delusion, the fantasy, the romanticism of a spiritual life, as though it somehow makes you separate and better and more knowledgeable and more aware and more anything. Because really the ultimate spiritual life doesn't make you more of anything. If anything, it makes you kind of less than you were, or less in a position of ownership of anything, such as the right idea, such as a better attitude toward life, such as I am a good person. All of these identities that people think that they are going to acquire from a spiritual life turn out to be just more baggage, a lot more baggage. And spiritual baggage is no different than any other baggage, to be honest. Just because you think it's good baggage doesn't mean it's not something you carry around with you and ultimately have to let go of. I remember when I met Rudy that I really expected to be enlightened by the age of 30. I'll be enlightened. And then I'll walk around and just teach or whatever. I don't know what I expected exactly would happen, except that I would no longer be burdened by the world or by myself, to be honest. And then I started to realize, not so long into it, that wasn't happening. And Rudy was very clear in telling us this is a life's work. He didn't say you're going to be enlightened by 30. He said this is a life's work. And of course now, having been doing this for what is much of a lifetime, certainly two-thirds of a lifetime so far, that's really clear to me that this is the work of a life. And it's that because it takes that long, and perhaps longer, to get past all of our illusions, all of our fantasies, all of our hopes and prayers that somehow we will be delivered of anything. There is no delivery as such. There is no way to escape being, at least not in the fantastical sense. What happens ultimately is you acknowledge and accept being. And you accept it in all of its variabilities, and there are endless variabilities. You accept what is at any given moment, and in some strange way, the not fighting what is the core spiritual lesson. And if you really do allow this moment to be without condemning it, being angry at it, wishing it were other, or trying to hold it so it never goes away, if you can get rid of all of that, the very thing you're looking for is present. But there's no ownership of it, because the presence, in a certain sense, releases you from any kind of hold on it. In other words, you are not there. It just is. And it is, I use the word in LA, I talk about it a lot, it is okay. Not it's triumphant and glorious, not it's, you know, transcendent, it's deeply, deeply, deeply okay. And when you start to sense that, and there's no you dancing around it or interacting with it or somehow trying to make money off of it or have an attitude that will elevate you because you now sense this, as all that starts to wash away and wash away and wash away, there just becomes this deep, deep simplicity of being you. And it takes a lifetime of working and scrubbing to get there. What it doesn't necessarily take, and this is interesting, is meditating. Or sitting, or having a particular practice. Not that that doesn't provide a potential benefit in this process, but I have been around enough people now, part of my growing awareness as an older person, is how many people I know who've been around the block in this world are arriving at the same place. And they haven't meditated a day in their life. Life has simply worked for them in the same way it works for us. It does this scrubbing thing through its pain and its tension and its demand and its enticement. All of these things work on us to break us down, to bring us into a kind of awareness. The great value of sitting and meditating, and it does have, for me, enormous value, is that you are a conscious participant in this process rather than an unconscious participant. That you get to watch the enormous, extraordinary reality of your life unfold. And you see how it works. You learn. You keep learning and learning, and you're aware of what you're learning. It doesn't come as a flash, you know, when you're 60 or 70 or 80. You know, it just keeps arriving, of like, these little momentary awakenings that give you more and more of a sense of who you are and what this is. And the incredible joy of sitting and practicing letting go is that when the time comes to truly let go, you will discover that much of what you have to let go of, you've already done. It's gone. It's faded away. It's no longer got a hold on you. So when you finally have to really let go, there's almost nothing there to let go of. You just go, aha, done. And it's very simple. It's very natural. It's like a piece of fruit on a tree, you know. It kind of knows when it's time to fall off. It gains a certain kind of weight, a certain kind of ripeness, a certain kind of arriving at what it's supposed to be, and it goes, and it makes itself available for the next life that it's going to create for people through its seed form, through its joy that it will spread to people who eat it, if they get to eat it. The earth will absorb it if the people don't, but it moves on, and that's the same thing with us. We just, at the right moment, you just let go. And life is really a very simple journey, ultimately, that is either conscious or unconscious, but goes to the same place. And no life is lived outside of what is consciousness, awareness, this extraordinary presence that is the very essence of our life. There's no way to live outside of that. So in a sense, you are a spiritual being whether you know it or you don't. And you are living a spiritual life whether you're aware of it or not. And all of your worldly sufferings are your spiritual teachings. Period. What else are they? The world is here, as Rudy says, to teach us spiritually, to give us our spiritual lessons. It is the way we learn. And if you go deeper, you start to get them more subtly, meaning if you sit still, those lessons reverberate in a very different way. They start to come at you from the inside out rather than from the outside in. And it's a very powerful thing when these lessons arise within you. They're very quiet and they're very still, but they're very powerful. And they just go, this. This. And something in you completely gets it. You don't even get it mentally. You just go, huh. And you become more and more and more aware. And life becomes something so beautiful for which you become so deeply and endlessly grateful. And Marty and I were talking before class, and that gratitude for the moment is, in a sense, the very measure of your spiritual life. If you want to know how you're doing spiritually, look at your gratitude. If there's no gratitude, you're probably pretty unconscious of what your life is. If you find gratitude, or you even cultivate gratitude, you will find that there is a kind of deep acknowledgement of this. Because you can't have this consciously and not be grateful. Not possible. Gratitude arises because you are aware. You look around you and you cannot believe how lucky you are. And when you forget that, if you can have any consciousness at all that you have forgotten it, that becomes a tool. It becomes, uh-oh, I'm in a state of unconsciousness. I'm not feeling grateful. I'm feeling angry and annoyed and bothered by the world. And so what do you do at that point? This is where tools come in handy. My tool is I sit. I go, okay. I can feel the discordant notes in my life. I can feel that I'm walking around in a kind of a dead space. So I just sit down. And I get quiet. And what happens when I sit down is, first of all, I'm really annoyed. Why do I have to sit? Why do I have to do this? I'm sitting here and the mind is going through all of this stuff. It always does it, every time. It's got all of its complaints and all of its drama, and I just sit through it. I've heard it all before a million times, so it's not new to me. I just sit down and I listen to it, and then it gets worn out. Just like when you're a little kid and you cry and you cry and you cry in the crib. And after an hour of crying and nobody's come to help you because they know about your crying already, you just can't cry anymore. It just stops. You're kind of angry. You try again to cry again. Nothing comes out. Your mind is exactly the same way. You sit in meditation and it cries and it cries and it cries and it wears itself out. And then you're just sitting there going, and then this thing happens. You're present. This thing of well-being, this thing of it's okay. It's all okay. And it even happens in the worst moments. It truly does. A lot of people in some of their greatest grief find this very odd thing happening. They're grieving and they are suffering like mad. But something in them knows, in some very protected and deep space, that even this is okay. It's a powerful thing that happens, and I know all of you probably have had that experience. It's like, I'm suffering so greatly, and yet there's something around this suffering that embraces. We have such a value-laden sensibility. This is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. We have it in our spiritual life, we have it in our daily life, we have it all the time. But the real lesson of the meditative life, or of an awakening life, or even awakened life, is that those values are transitory. They come and they go. They're simply mind relating to what is. And you can't necessarily stop that value-laden stuff from happening, but you can observe it and go, yeah, here he goes again. And just watch it, and it will do the same thing that I described when you sit to meditate or when you're crying in the crib. It'll wear itself out, and you will get to a place where there's no value of right or wrong, good or bad, better, worse. It is all part of the same whole, and that whole ultimately, and I guess this is a conjecture for many of you, but it's something I have felt more and more profoundly as I live. This thing that we are part of, that we are one with, loves us. Period. It really loves us. It really, really is grateful to us for living this life. It watches our attempt to become conscious with such fervor. It has such delight in our arrival at awakening. It has such hope for our transcendence. It is so much the fuel of our existence, and it loves our effort. It loves it. And it suffers when we don't get it. It is our suffering. When we walk through life angry and dissatisfied or betrayed or whatever we walk through life with, it suffers with us. And its suffering is the very thing that hopefully will inspire something to go back onto the path and awaken, that suffering isn't required. It wants us to feel this journey toward light. It is the essence of our journey. It is why we make this journey. It's why we're born, to rise up into this enormous sense of love and to know that it was always, always there. It's an extraordinary journey, and it is fraught with all sorts of misunderstanding and illusions and delusions when you begin it. All these expectations, all these sort of worldly value things that we throw at this journey. But in the end, in spite of all of that, it works, it finds its way, and it brings all of us ultimately into an awakening back into our true sense of being. That's the journey. We're all on it. Whether you're sitting in this class, whether you are on Skid Row, whether you are in any place, in any corner of this world, this is what you're doing. You may not get it. There may be nothing explaining it to you. There may be no clarity in your mind at all, but it is happening. And it will happen, and it does happen, and ultimately you are deeply, deeply, deeply immersed in this universe of love. And that's all I have to say.